welcome to episode 20 of The Punt. Who'd have thought we'd make it this far, eh? After last week's snaps, we might not be back for number 21. Not a single winner. Must do better, boys. Now this week, Robbie Savage is lording Liverpool. We have some more 3pm number crunchers and Derek's, well, being Derek. Plenty of good Premier League games for DK and Alex to preview. Let's start with the champions-elect Liverpool as they take on Watford.
Just before we come to this game then, Emma rightfully having a little pop at us for last week's performance. It wasn't phenomenal by any stretch of the imagination.
No, not on an apps front, definitely. I got off to a flyer, didn't I, with Richarlison scoring so early.
Yeah.
Thought this could be a great week. And then it ended rather disappointingly with West Ham showing something against Arsenal for a little bit of time. And then Arsenal went for 10 minutes. Yeah, go on then, we'll beat you now.
Yeah,
that was job done, really. Hopefully, more winning naps this week.
We kick off with top versus bottom, Liverpool taking on Watford at Anfield. Liverpool 1-5. The draw is 6-1, with Watford 12-1. If you fancy Liverpool to win and both teams to score, that's available at 7-5. The draw in that market 13-2, Watford 16-1. This is going to be mightily tough for the Hornets here, given that Liverpool have won their last 15 straight at Anfield, come off that. A good performance midweek against Salzburg as well. Liverpool, I mean, it's going to be how many here, isn't it?
Yeah, it should be, shouldn't it? I mean, each of these Liverpool home games, you think, oh, could they slip up? And they haven't yet.
Not this one.
They're not particularly convincing all the time, though, Liverpool. They're giving their opponents a squeak in every single game. The Brighton game was passing without incident. Then Alisson got bored, decided to come out of his box and handball it. All of a sudden, it's 2-1 and they're defending. But they shouldn't be doing too much defending here. Watford, obviously, with another managerial change.
Yep.
That's Nigel Pearson in. If it's changed again by the time this goes out, because it could happen, couldn't it?
We can't legislate for that.
No, exactly. Watford only scored 9 times this season.
Yeah.
Liverpool's problem at home is that they have not kept a single clean sheet yet at Anfield, which is incredible. We're nearly at Christmas, and last season their defence was so key.
And they're guaranteed to be top at Christmas as well.
Yeah, it's odd that they haven't kept home clean sheets. They will not get a better opportunity than this. Watford are pretty toothless. Watford's only hope is that the new manager bounce creates something among them, some fighting spirit. They're also going to need a fair bit of luck, though.
Yeah, and Watford's record in recent times against Liverpool at Anfield is pretty horrific. You might be looking at Liverpool on the handicap here, -2 or -3. I'm looking at Naby Keita to score any time in the game at 9-4. He scored in his last couple. And given that Gini Wijnaldum and Jordan Henderson like to sit deep, it's allowed Naby Keita to join that front three. And he's getting loads of opportunities. And I thought 9-4 was a decent bet for him to score any time.
Yeah, I was in full agreement, to be honest. I think he's in his best form of the season. He struggled with injury at the start of the campaign. If he starts, and it is an if, because they do have midfield options even with Fabinho out,
yep,
then I'd say that he is worth a wager any time. It's hard to find value in the game because you are looking at maybe someone slightly outside the box, but even like Virgil van Dijk's about 18-5, I think, to score any time. It's pretty sure. It could happen. I think he scored against them last year, but it's just one of those things that you are trying to force it, if you like. One thing that is worth looking at, I don't actually think it'll land in this game, but it's worth highlighting again. Liverpool don't get many corners. They've been out-cornered in their recent home games against Brighton and Everton. 2 home wins, but the away side have had more corners. I'd be surprised if Watford do on this occasion, but if you're getting something massively exotic on corner handicaps, it could be something to look
at. Yeah, you need to trademark out-cornered
as a
bit of phraseology. I'm going with Liverpool to win this game. Liverpool to win it convincingly. I'm looking at handicap markets. Liverpool -3 will be my bet. They've got a tremendous record against Watford.
Yeah, I can't see anything other than a home win here, to be honest. Watford have only scored the 9 goals so far in the league. I can't see them adding to that here. Liverpool win to nil is a suggestion, but they are yet to keep a home clean sheet this season. So we'll take that out of it. I expect Liverpool to score a few, but it is quite hard to find value. Liverpool -2 on the handicap seems a logical way to go. 6-1, 5-0, 5-0. I think we'll see maybe a 3 or a 4 here, but I'll go -2.
Liverpool minus two for Alex. Now, I think Robbie Savage is a fan of this Liverpool team as well. Let's hear him wax lyrical about Liverpool for 60 seconds.
Pace, power, dynamic, exuberant, excellent, fantastic, a joy to watch, incredible. All these words to describe this Liverpool side, but the word I'm going to describe it with is great. They are a great side. People say they're not a great side until they won the Premier League, but that's nonsense. They're a great side because winning the Champions League, when they were up against it, Barcelona 3-0 down, they win the second leg at Anfield. This season in the Premier League, not playing that well at times, but they get over the line. That makes them a great side. Finishing second in the Premier League, losing one game in the whole season. Incredible. Jurgen Klopp, what a great manager. 101 wins from his 160 in the Premier League. Since they drew at Goodison in March the 3rd, they've taken 73 from 75 points. Incredible. They're running away with the Premier League title this season. What a team. They've got great players. This team is a great side. And it's one of the greatest Liverpool sides ever.
Let's move on to the game on Saturday night then. 5:30 kickoff at St Mary's. It's Southampton taking on West Ham. The Saints are shared of odds on here, Alex, 88-100. The draw 29-10 with the Hammers in the betting at 14-5. Full range of markets on the William Hill website and on the app as well. And don't forget, you can build a your odds bet online and on the app too. More war for West Ham on Monday night, beaten 3-1 by Arsenal. And I think they're trying to defy me. They're defying the manager. I thought they'd have a big season and it's not materialised. And they're just not trying for Manuel Pellegrini. And if he is in charge for this game, it might be his last game in charge.
Yeah, there's not many players that actually do seem to be putting it all in right now. And that run of form, the Arsenal game was poor in the way that they lost. If they'd have lost and Arsenal came there and were at their swashbuckling best and played them, fair enough. But Arsenal looked really poor for an hour and then just cranked it up a little bit and West Ham couldn't cope with it. It doesn't look particularly rosy for West Ham at present.
It doesn't. They're struggling.
Oh, God. I saw the price on Southampton. I thought it was a trick. it's one of those things you think, no, they've got that wrong. And you look and you go, no, that's what price they are.
I was looking at like the likes of Danny Ings to score any time because he's been in decent nick.
Got 5-5 now.
Yeah, and he's scored actually in 5 Premier League defeats this season, which is a rarity. But he's 8-11 to score any time in the match. And it's difficult to side with Southampton at these sort of odds. It's almost impossible.
As an outright pick, you can be a bit more creative with it, which I may be shortly, but honestly, that price is so, so short. You're backing a team to win at home, and they don't win at home particularly often, and they're playing a side. To be fair, it's the only opposition, though, that I really want to take on this week is West Ham. So it's difficult. I napped them last week, and I'm still bitter about it, really. I looked at the prices and thought, am I going to have to go for them again here? But I just don't think you can. I don't think you can go for West Ham. So for all the, you know, there's a perception of value here.
Yeah.
Ultimately, results-wise, I think Southampton will probably win this. But the price, yuck.
What are we going for here? Because I looked at these prices and I just thought, yeah, we can't side with Southampton. But I know that you want to take on West Ham this week.
I do want to take West Ham on with all of my heart. They just aren't trying for the manager. Southampton at home, both teams to score, has been a banker so far this season, with the exception of the 9-0 loss against Leicester. I don't think we'll see a repeat of that here. Danny Ings he's in superb form, Danny Ings. But he's too short to score any time here. So the outright selection for me is going to be 2-1 to Southampton.
Okay.
In Southampton's last 6 games, 5 of them have finished 2-1 either way. I'll play it again. It's not a game I've got a strong opinion on, but 2-1 Southampton for me.
Southampton to win the game 2-1. We've had a look at the live TV games on Saturday. It's time now for Number Crunchers with John Gibby.
Another week, another round of 3 p.m. games to try and find some appealing stats-based bets. We start in Leicester, where the Foxes look to continue their fine form as they take on Norwich. They're on the longest winning run of any team in the league, having won their last 8 matches. Jamie Vardy has been a big part of that success, and it seems that he might be the man to focus on once again. He's scored 6 times in their last 5 home games. He'll understandably be a short price to notch any time, so given he often opens the scoring for Leicester, why not back him to score first at an attractive price of around 2-1. Meanwhile, in West London, a meeting between two teams currently navigating choppy waters as Chelsea host Bournemouth. The Cherries have lost each of their last five games, their longest ever winless run in the Premier League, and risk getting pulled into a relegation scrap. Though there's no concerns about that for the home side, they're licking their wounds after recent defeats to West Ham and Everton. With that in mind, why not take the result out of it and look instead towards how one-sided meetings between these clubs tend to be? Both teams have scored only once in the last six games between Chelsea and Bournemouth in all competitions. Either one or both teams to fail to find the net is a shade of odds on and looks the best way in to what is an important match for both sides. And one of the league's surprise packages in Sheffield United take on Aston Villa at Bramall Lane. Of these two promoted teams, the Blade supporters will undoubtedly be the happiest at this stage of the season, but it's worth bearing in mind there's usually plenty of goals in this fixture, with a total of 11 scored in the two meetings between these sides in the Championship last season. Throw into the mix that there's been at least three goals in each of Villa's last seven away games in all competitions, and over 2.5 goals at just shy of evens looks an absolute banker in a game where we should see plenty of action.
John Gibby with some good bets on Number Crunchers on Saturday. Let's move on to the Sunday TV games. Got a couple of crackers here, Mr. Dunn. And we start at Old Trafford with Manchester United taking on Everton. This is a 2 o'clock kickoff. United are odds on here, 78-100. The draw 13-5, Everton 19-5. Check out the full range of enhanced odds on the William Hill website and on the app as well. Manchester United in tip-top shape at the moment. Good result against, or cracking result against Spurs, and then went to the Etihad and won 2-1 last weekend. I thought that Aaron Wan-Bissaka performance was one of the finest performances you'll ever see from a right-back in any league in Europe. To contain Raheem Sterling the way he did was simply sensational. And I'll be shocked if he's not starting right-back for England in the Euros.
Well, he's got a fair bit of competition, hasn't he?
It's
one position that England are actually blessed with quite a few, not world-class, but international
class. A lot of people will say Trent Alexander-Arnold.
Yes. Going forward, without question. Defensively, Wan-Bissaka is better.
Yeah.
Kyle Walker is not bad. Kieran Trippier is fourth choice. You know, it's a strong selection, though. No, he was really good, wasn't he, Wan-Bissaka? Normally, when you wax lyrical about someone, I immediately try and downplay it. But he was really good.
So he was really good.
I can't. Manu have been really good recently.
They have. The one thing I'd say about Manchester United is the games that they've had against Spurs and Manchester City, it plays into their hands and their style at the moment because they like to concede possession and hit teams on the counter-attack. This is a different kettle of fish entirely because they will be expected to dominate possession and dominate Everton in this game. And it's just a different test for Manchester United, and it will be interesting to see how they handle it.
Completely. We highlighted last week that there are teams in the Premier League that are better without the ball, effectively, and then they hit teams on the break. Wolves are one, Newcastle are another. Manchester United recently have done that as well. Manu's home form this season has been largely very, very strong. It may not appear that on the face of it because they've lost at home to Palace, and I think they drew at home to Villa. But otherwise, a very, very solid record. It's been on the road that they've struggled. So I can see why Man U are clear favourites here. Obviously, they deserve to be favourites, but the price isn't as short as I thought it could be. Let's say that much. But this fella's in charge at Everton for this game, at least.
Yeah.
And it was really, really refreshing to watch them against Chelsea.
He got a reaction, didn't he? We had the get-rich screen last week, and Richarlison scored again. He enhanced his phenomenal record in the month of December, and he's in fine form. And Duncan Ferguson got a tune out of them last week.
Quite simply, the players were up for it. They tackled, they ran. These are basics, but they did them, and they were very effective. And Chelsea are a decent side. It's a really, really good win for Everton. That it's then a difficult game to follow up in, without question, but it was refreshing to watch them and watch them try because I don't think they have been all this season.
Yeah.
You mentioned Richarlison. He's 2-1 to score any time in this game as well. It's okay. It's maybe a little bit short away from home. But as you said, he's in decent form. So it's something to consider, definitely.
Manchester United looking for their third straight win in the Premier League. Marcus Rashford's been in fine form. I'm taking the result out of this because I think Manchester United are a shade short in the betting. I'll just go with Rashford to score any time in the match.
I think Man U are an okay price. It's not devastating value by any means. And there will be people that are going to be tempted by Everton here because of the bounce factor that we saw with Ferguson in charge against Chelsea.
Yeah.
I think this will be a little more difficult. I do like the Rashford angle. He's in fantastic form already this season, and I wouldn't be surprised if he scores. But I will go for a result here. I'll go Man U to win and both teams to score.
Okay.
I think Man U will struggle to keep Everton out. I think they'll do something, but they'll just quite simply outscore them. So Man U, both teams to score, is a fair bet at a fair price.
Very good. Manchester United and both teams to score for Alex. And now let's hear from Derek, who's got a strong opinion on this match as well.
The bad news for Everton is that they're still in relegation territory and managerless. The worst news is that David Moyes is favoured to take over. When Moyes is out of management, he's usually favoured to be next in. When he's in management, he's usually favoured to be next out. It's fair to say the Scot is responsible for making bookies more money than anyone bar me. Moyes has just been joined in the betting by Carlo Ancelotti, but when bookies promote a new name into favouritism, it's often only a stunt to keep alive interest in a market they know will earn them shed loads, no matter who ultimately gets the job. I swear if they said Boris Johnson was the new jolly, they'd lure mug punters into backing him, and I really can't afford to invest any more in this market. Moyes somehow managed to take Everton into Europe, and has vowed, if he gets the gig, to do so again, even if he has to write the song himself. You had to feel sorry for the manager Everton sacked, Marco Silva. For months, he was a dead man walking. In fact, he was known as Long Gone Silva. In charge right now as caretaker boss is Duncan Ferguson, who once disturbed two burglars who were ransacking his home. They may live. As a player, if someone told you Ferguson would go into management, you'd have naturally thought anger management. In his first game, Everton beat Chelsea, and some Blues fans attributed it to the new manager bounce. Well, I think that's what they said. It could have been the new manager's a bouncer. Will Everton manage to repeat that kind of result against the Man United team managed by Ole Gunnar Solskjaer in a match that brings the baby-faced assassin into battle with the assassin? Everton have been linked with signing Zlatan Ibrahimovic, the former Manchester United loafer. Zlatan's lofty reputation seems to rest entirely on a goal he scored for Sweden against England. In an ideal world, both sides would lose this match. A couple of weeks ago, given the way they were both playing, that's exactly how I'd have bet. I wonder why I'm always so skinned. Now, I'd have to say United, who have just beaten Spurs and Manchester City in quick succession, look the standout bets at 3-4. Take a look at the league table. You'll see Newcastle 4 points above Burnley, and you'll see that no side outside the top four have won more away games this season than the two. Now take a look at the William Hill website, and you'll see that Newcastle are around 3-1 to win at Burnley.
Derek's best bet then, Newcastle this week. We'll come to all the best bets very shortly, but we've got a couple of games to look at first, including this one, which is a belter, Arsenal taking on Manchester City. Sunday 4:30, Arsenal are 5-1 to win the game. They draw 17-4, Manchester City 4-9. Going into the weekend, Arsenal ninth in the table, picked up just 22 points. They are a mid-table club. They look like a mid-table club at the moment. I think the result on Monday night, papering over the cracks, as far as I'm concerned, they were pretty dreadful. And I fancy City strongly in this game. I know City have wobbled slightly recently. But yeah, I'm very much pro-City in this one.
I am as well. You look at the price and you go, are they a little bit short? No, they're not at all. I think they're justified at that price.
Yeah, I do.
Would it be the biggest shock in the world for Arsenal to win this game? Absolutely not. City have looked vulnerable this season. But it's so hard to warm to Arsenal at the minute.
They love playing them as well, don't they?
Yeah, that's the thing. City have got a really good record against them. Martinelli came in against West Ham and he scored and he looked bright. He's a young kid. He's unburdened by expectation. But a lot of those Arsenal players look like they're weighed down by it, to be honest. I just think City will go there and do what they want, basically.
Yeah.
I can't see Arsenal getting in their faces and making it nasty for them.
No.
And I can just see City scoring 2, 3, 4.
Yeah, we're looking for bets, obviously. 4-9 City to win the game. What have you pinpointed as a potential selection?
Well, there were two ways in, so I've combined them. Because online with the hashtag Your Odds, you can, if you click on it on the tab on the website,
yep,
you can then get involved and choose what you fancy in the game. So I took both teams to score, and I took City minus a goal. Put them together,
right?
27-10 poke.
All right, okay.
Which, it's quite all right, you know. I mean, you could also back correct scores here. I mean, that would be, for that to land, by the way, you do need 4 goals in the game.
Mm.
And you may think 27-10 is short for that, but I hope we would see entertainment here.
I think we will.
So you're looking at City 3-1, 4-1, maybe 4-2. I mean, you're pushing it maybe a bit there, but I do think we'll see plenty of goals. Like I said, I think City will just go there, pass, goal. Arsenal may get one at the other end, but I just can't see Arsenal making it difficult for City here. And when teams don't make it difficult for City, that is when trouble occurs. Because not only do they keep the ball incredibly well, they can be devastating. On their day, they can blow teams away, and that could happen to Arsenal here. It could.
I'm just looking at some prices for the correct scores you mentioned there, and I do like them. City to win 3-1 available at 9-1. City to win 4-1 available at 14-1 in this match. If you just fancy City to win and both teams to score, slightly shorter price, much shorter price at 5-4 in the market there. But I like the bets that you're mentioning. City might be a short price here, but they're going to dominate Arsenal in this one. Arsenal look like a mid-table team at the moment. City to dominate, I'm going City minus 2 on the handicap.
I just think City will keep the ball here, and when they go forward, they will pick Arsenal off. Arsenal defensively have looked suspect. I can see City scoring a fair few in this game, to be honest. I think Arsenal could get on the score sheet as well. I'll be looking at both teams to score. I'll be looking at City minus a goal. I mean, any combination of that would be fine. Outright, I'll go for a correct score. I'll go 3-1 to Man City. I'm hoping for some entertainment.
OK, 3-1 to Manchester City in that game at the Emirates.
You lot won big again last week with even more winning ACCAs. They are not happy upstairs. And you get even bigger prizes by using your Bet Boost. Just put your picks in your bet slip. If there are three or more, you'll be able to tap the boost button and watch the odds get bigger. Best of luck.
Monday night football then comes from Selhurst Park as Crystal Palace entertain Brighton. Crystal Palace 31-20, the draw in the betting at 11-5, Brighton 19-10. I looked at the prices for this, I was very surprised Crystal Palace weren't closer to even money, in all honesty. Only one team all season has kept more clean sheets than Crystal Palace, and that's Leicester City. And I just thought they'd be... I thought they'd be evens to win this game. I'm astonished they're as big as 31-20.
I fully agree with everything that you said there. We'll start with Brighton, though. I quite like Brighton. They do play nice football.
Yep.
They come here off the back of a great win at Arsenal and a decent draw against Wolves. They're a nice side to watch. They play decent football. And in Neil Maupay, they do have a striker who's capable of scoring goals.
He's got 6 this season, which is 3 times as many as any other Brighton player. He's
exactly.
If you're looking for a bet, he's a pro Brighton bet here. He's 17-10 to score any time in the match, and he's 9-2 to score first.
Brighton are a decent side, but Crystal Palace at home are pretty solid. So far this season, Palace at home and Brighton away are remarkably similar in that they have lost the fixtures you'd expect them to lose, and they've picked up points in the fixtures that you'd expect them to get something from.
Yeah.
That Arsenal game aside for Brighton. Brighton's away fixtures this season have been absolutely grim. They'll be pleased to just not be going to one of the top 6 here. So as a result, you go, well, Brighton on the road, they haven't picked up many points. There is a reason for that. So don't read too much into that. But I'm with you. Palace at home. You've got a Monday night fixture. They don't like each other, these two. There'll be a bit of atmosphere. The ground will be, you know, pretty lively.
Yeah.
I just thought Palace were a really, really good price here. I'm with you, basically. I thought Palace should be 6-5, 11-10, maybe. The fact that you're getting 31-20, bigger than 6-4... doesn't really make sense to me. So from a value point of view, it adds up to go for Palace here.
I'm looking forward to Monday Night Football because I think there's a serious bet here. And we've both spoken about it off air. Palace, too big.
Palace,
too big.
Way too big. Way too big. They are my best bet of the entire fixture list over the weekend. I think Palace will win this. Brighton are a tidy side, but Palace get results at home.
Yeah.
We saw it against Bournemouth. They went out to 10 men early. They still managed to win that game. That was in their last home game. At home, they are solid. They keep clean sheets as well. I can just see them getting the job done here.
My championship nap of the week is going to be Preston North End, not just to win, but to win minus a goal at 15-8. They've won 3 of the last 4 home games. They dispatched Fulham midweek at Deepdale 2, and they're hitting some good home form. They're taking on a side, though, in Luton, who've lost their last 5 away games by an aggregate of 18-3, who conceded 7 at Brentford and were battered away at lowly Stoke midweek 2. Preston minus a goal looks a big price for me at 15-8. It's my nap of the week.
My nap this weekend seems relatively straightforward, with the best side in the league table topping Wycombe Wanderers at home to Burton Albion, who are 15th, already 16 points behind the chair boys. Wycombe at home have won 10 of their last 12 games, and their last 4 victories have all been by goal to nil, so they're very difficult to break down. Burton on the road have lost 2 of their last 4 games and lost 3-1 last time they played away at Wycombe Wanderers. Simple. My nap this weekend is Wycombe Wanderers at 27-20.
Swindon have won the last six League Two games. Owen Doyle has scored in all of them. In fact, Doyle's now scored in eight games in a row, and Swindon host a mediocre Oldham, whose form appears to be on the up. But none of Oldham's last 12 matches have been against sides in the top six. Nine of them have been against sides currently in the bottom half, and they've still only won four in the league all season. Any time Owen Doyle to score in a Swindon win is too short at 13-10, but he's been the first goal scorer in seven of the last eight. So Doyle, first goal scorer, Swindon win 17-5.
I'd usually introduce the Football League guys, but given their dismal performance last week and our dismal performance as well, thought better just skirt over that. Hopefully we'll have better success this weekend. Still five of us in profit, and just ignore Derek down at the bottom there. He's gone with a Newcastle win. What do you make to that as a Newcastle fan?
Yeah, away at Burnley, maybe a little bit big in the betting. Priced up very similarly to how the Sheffield United game was a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, yeah.
The issue is Sam Maximan's injured now. He's out for a month.
Okay.
So that will change things massively. It's not the worst nap I've ever seen, but I wouldn't be too bullish.
I'm going with something we mentioned in the programme. Naby Keita to score any time at 9-4 is my best bet. Hopefully he'll start the game. Naby Keita for me.
Yeah, I like that bet. Again, provided he starts, he's in really, really good form. As you can see, the Football League guys, I'll stick him with the tried and trusted.
He should be banned from napping Swindon and Doyle now.
Yeah, but he keeps scoring, does Doyle? Yeah, he does. It's phenomenal.
He's got an unbelievable record, hasn't he?
So again, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Yeah. Preston minus one for Pete, Wickham for Gav. And I've gone with Palace in the end. It was a toss-up between that and Chelsea played Bournemouth. Chelsea seemed a little skinny to start with, but then you realise just how bad Bournemouth have been recently. I was looking for some kind of maybe Chelsea in both teams or goals bet. But in the end, the price on Palace, 31-20,
yeah,
if we record this, is too big to ignore. They are not absolute bankers, but they're way too big against a Brighton side who, let's face it, if they went to Palace and won, they would be very pleasantly surprised. So I'll take a home win there.
Alex, been a pleasure as usual.
Thank you. Shall we go to the Christmas party now?
Let's do that. thank you everyone for joining us on this edition of The Punt. Check out all the betting at williamhill.com and on the app. And we'll be back next week.